There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, and there you have it. There you go. With the qualifying.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 1045, May 28th, 2024. Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say, what a weekend of surprises. No pole, no win for Max. K-Mac causes a crash. Chuckwagon rolls in Monaco. Two in a row at the Brickyard for man from Tennessee. And sir, I had a meeting with family member of Peter Revson, and in the Palatial Studios today, we have the winner of the 1967 Daytona 500. We shall explain gladly. Back to you.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Monaco, Formula One's future is in trouble. Leclerc's win in Monaco, great for Formula One and the little people. Red Bull slowly falling backwards. Aston Martin quickly falling backwards. And Pat O'Ward, so close, yet no cigar. And this week's interview, yes, the man himself, Mario Andretti. And I do need to remind everyone that, yes, we desperately need your contributions to keep this program alive and on the cloud. So please, just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know, you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am trying to recover from my first jet lag, and then I will make an attempt to recover from my second jet lag. And pretty soon, I'll be working on my third jet lag. But anyway, in Monaco, during the race weekend, as you know very well, they don't do fully loaded burritos. So today, we have a fully loaded foie gras podcast. And shall we get down to the business of Formula One Grand Prix motor racing and talk about Colli, and then we can talk about the super exciting Grand Prix we had on Sunday.
Yes, the excitement is building, but yes, start at the beginning, Nasser.
Yes, sir. Colli, first time this season, no pole position for Max. He was unable to beat Senna's record. He remains tied with him for 8 consecutive pole positions. Max said, and I quote, "I'm not disappointed with the position. I'm just disappointed with our performance. I can't take any curves. Feels like I'm driving a go-kart with no suspension and no damping. So it's very difficult for us." End quote. Max qualified 6th and his teammate Checo qualified 18th. Were you surprised there was no Red Bull on the front row, sir?
I was, but then we sort of got hints from FP1 and FP2 and FP3. They just struggled all weekend. They couldn't put anything together. And you always can tell by the sad face Christian Horner has while he's trying to read the operator's manual in the glove box of the Red Bull car.
Yeah, so Max on row 3 in 6th and his teammate Checo 18th. Now that should have surprised you.
Well, Checo, you know, I don't know what's going on with him. He's decided to sleep or he's having too many jalapeno peppers.
Yes, that's very possible. And they have very good jalapeno poppers in Monte Carlo and Monton, or whatever it is called. That place is beautiful, man. I like that place very much. I may be there in July. I liked it so much. Anyway, impressive showing to get into Q3 by Pierre Gasly, who qualified his Alpine in 10th. Alex Albon got his Williams up to 9th, very impressive, and Yuki Tsunoda qualified 8th for RB. And sir, before I forget, this was late-breaking news. president of FIA, Mr. Mohammed bin Sulayem, who was basically the biggest supporter of Michael Andretti's team coming in, he is now saying Michael Andretti should buy an existing team. So I don't know whether he does not want to be invited to the U.S. Capitol by DOJ or if the heat is getting into the FIA tent. But we'll talk more on this later. Okay, so up front it was Ferrari, McLaren on row 1, rinse and repeat for row 2. On pole position, man who can walk to the track from his apartment, local hombre Charles Leclerc. Sharing front row with him, Aussie mate Oscar Piastri. And man, when Piastri got a fight second, I said, this is Monaco, Max is on row 3. If Piastri can get the jump on Charles, we'll have a Aussie winner in Monte Carlo. Lando Norris third and Sainz Jr. fourth. Both Haas, this was interesting and disappointing also. Both Haas cars were disqualified for DRS infringement. Nico Hülkenberg had qualified 12th and Kevin Magnussen 15th and Machismo qualified 16th. And sir, talking of Haas, you probably heard that Haas Stewart, which is Tony Stewart, they are shutting down their NASCAR operation. Do you hear that?
I did not hear that, Nasser. Wow, that's big news.
Yeah, I mean, that is the main bread and butter, you know. So I was very shocked. And this tells me that if Gene Haas is closing down his NASCAR operation, he probably will sell it, you know, franchise and all that, and still make a lot of money. But this is like a huge, huge shocker. So I think Haas F1 may be on the block pretty soon. So we shall see. Okay. Anything else that you want to talk about qualifying?
Qualifying was great. I mean, it's Monaco and it's my birthday weekend. So I know it's processional. So for me, qualifying is more exciting than the Grand Prix itself. We know it's going to be processional. The only thing we watch for is the start, whether it's going to be a clean start or if it's going to be 1995 all over again. And, well, we know what happened now.
Yes, the most impressive part of the race was also the least impressive. And this is the first time since 1950, Silverstone, the result of the race was copy-paste of Q3, which is not very good for Formula One compared to 300 lead changes per race weekend in NASCAR Nation. 3 pole positions in the last 4 races in Monaco. Finally a home win for Leo's best friend, Mr. Charles Leclerc. And man, had he not won here this time, he would have been really, really pissed off cat. First of, remember one time his car broke down on the warm-up lap or could not even come to the grid, if I remember correctly. First of the season, this is his first win of the season and first since Austria 2022. Long time coming, but worth the wait. And 2022 was the season when he won 2 of the first 3 races and had a pretty decent lead. And then he won a race in Austria, and after that he just was wondering, where did Max go? But that's the way it goes sometimes. So Mr. Charles Leclerc was very emotional, as expected. He said, and I quote, "It is the race that made me dream of becoming a Formula One driver," end quote. Now, interestingly, the last time Monaco Grand Prix was won by a local driver was 1931. Louis Chiron in a Bugatti. And I remember when I started following racing in early 70s and I had access to books mostly from the late 60s, Louis Chiron, I think I saw more of his photos than any other person. He was always the starter waving the flag at the Monaco Grand Prix for years and years. You remember that, sir?
Absolutely. Louis Chiron is really, I mean, he's a Monégasque, but he's also très français and is part of the history that surrounds Monaco. Very famous and a wonderful guy.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Okay, since racing in Monte Carlo is as exciting as watching cars in the Holland Tunnel in New York City, all the excitement happened on the opening lap. One can always count on Kevin Magnussen. After both Haas cars were sent back to the grid after qualifying, a little patience would have been much better than taking out one Red Bull and your own teammate, I think he will be shown the door at the end of the season. And his teammate, Hulkenberg, called the crash unnecessary and stupid. And by the way, I mean, when I saw that car on the broadcast, could not believe how badly it was damaged. And then some people on Facebook, a couple of people posted, you know, like with their own camera or video, whatever. I mean, one of them shows that K-Mag has T-boned him and basically drilled him into the barrier. Have you seen those?
No, I have not.
Yeah, check it out. It's on Facebook, and I'm sure it's on YouTube also. But very, very vicious accident. Who do you think was at fault? K-Mag?
Well, I personally thought K-Mag was completely at fault.
Yeah, some people are saying Checo did not leave him much room. But, you know, the thing is, if I had not watched this race and you told me, hey, there was a crash and the race was red flag, my guess would be, was Kevin Magnussen or Esteban Ocon involved here? And third default would be Lance Stroll. Esteban Ocon is now under tremendous heat and pressure from Bruno Famin, the team boss at for Alpine. He gave a late pissed-off interview to the French broadcaster Canal Plus, which was reported in the telecast immediately by Ted Kravitz, and Bruno is saying that there will be consequences. All the reports that are coming that he may be benched for the Canadian Grand Prix. And I have to say this, Esteban Ocon is a Grand Prix winning talent, and his story to reach Formula One is similar to LCH. But he's had issues with other teammates as well. Some of us remember his many scratchings with Pink Panther teammate, ironically Sergio Perez. And I think that if nothing is done, he's not going to change. You know what I'm saying? It's going to happen again. So I think if they bench him one race, you know, Tolman Turbo once benched Ayrton Senna because he had, you know, broken the contract and signed with Lotus. So benching Esteban Ocon is not going to be something new under the sun. And the race is in Montreal, next race. What do you think should be done to Ocon?
I'm not sure. Contractually, I'm not even sure if they can, but something needs to be done. It's just the points are so valuable, and Monaco is all about points. There is no room in Monaco. There is no space, guys. You have to take the first lap nice and easy. And I just couldn't believe what I was watching. You would think that they would be better than Formula 2. But Formula 2 had a red flag too, but they're young and learning. But when you get the veterans, the journeymen, I expect better driving.
And you know, this is something that Oscar Piastri said. You know, he said he had a couple of chances to go for the lead. But you know, this is Monaco. And a guy from Monaco is leading. He's not going to make room for you. So I think the top 10 drivers at least did a smart race where they did not crash into each other. Because, you know, passing at Monaco is just, it's not going to happen unless it's raining. Okay. Now, Charles Leclerc's teammate, Carlito, was third man on the podium, and he was definitely, remember in NASCAR, they used to have a lucky dog, like a lucky dog of the day? So he was lucky dog of the day, and it was interesting. Had the race was not red flag, there would be only one Ferrari at the end. Were you surprised that they allowed him to race?
Well, I had a feeling, since it was only at the beginning of the first lap, that they were going to restage everybody in their original positions and they could work on the car. So I had an inkling that Carlito had a good dose of karma.
Yeah. So Lady Luck was on his side. And that's what they normally do. If the first lap is not completed, you can restart or whatever the rules are. These days they don't have, normally they don't have extra car. If you can fix the car, you can get back in the game. Which he, do you know if all these car teams are bringing an extra car to every race?
Well, I know they don't at Monaco simply because there's just no room, literally. But I think the big teams have a spare tub and chassis in case there's, well,
Maldonado makes an appearance.
Exactly.
Okay, Carlito said, and I quote, "A very bad feeling on lap one that very quickly turned into a very good feeling being reinstated into P3. From there on, the race pace was good as expected. It is just impossible to pass on the streets of Monaco, end quote. And this was fourth podium of the season for Sainz. You know, interestingly, his papito, Carlos Sainz Sr., recently signed for Ford Motor Company to drive their Raptor truck in next year's Dakar Rally. So now the wind is saying, oh, Daddy is driving for Ford. Carlos Sainz Jr. will go to Red Bull because Ford is coming there. First it was, Daddy is driving for Audi. He'll go to Audi. So pretty soon we're going to find out who's going where. Okay, Oscar Piastri, the young man from Melbourne, was second. First podium of the season for Mark Webber's hot-off-the-grill customer. His only chance of winning was getting a jump on Leclerc at one of the starts. Or Leclerc crashing from the lead and screaming on radio, "I am so stupid," which has been known to happen. Norris was fourth. He has been in the points in every race so far, which is very good for Team Spayola at the end of the season. This includes his maiden victory in the fake marina where the Dolphins play, and I was a witness to his first win. Russell was the top dog for the Wolfman in fifth. Apart from his Albert Park DNF, Russell has scored points in all other races, but the once ultimate driving machine, sorry Beamers, has not helped him yet to the podium this season. If you were watching the race, you may have asked yourself, where is my beautiful Dutch master? Last year in Monaco, Max won the race from Machismo by over 27 seconds. That's almost half a minute. This year, Newey and company got their bearings wrong. On Sunday, he was serious missing person, going more like walking in Monaco than racing in Monaco. Proving the palatial studios of F1 Weekly has the right Helsinki formula. No package, no delivery. Would you have to say anything on Max's performance and his car? Obviously, he did not forget how to drive in Monte Carlo. Do you think he'll be bouncing back in Montreal?
I think so. I'm not sure what's going on there because Max is always Max. And I have to admit that Max was pretty gracious and humorous about the whole thing. And he was happy finishing sixth, realizing that that was the best they could do, especially when his teammate was 18th. Both cars were crappy at Monaco, and hopefully for Max they turn it around. But the biggest problem is the other teams are continuing to catch up while they're going to start working on turning it around. So this is when you could dig a hole for yourself. I mean, let's look at the new upgrades for Aston Martin. What is going on? It's almost like somebody has committed sabotage.
Ah, did they find any white powder early in the morning?
Well, there's some sneaky thoughts in my mind.
Oh, let me try to put things piece by piece. Is Fernando Alonso driving for them? Okay, we need to check the phone coordinates for him and Pedro de la Rosa. What's coming and what's going there? Okay, good thing is Max and other drivers, they did not do a Maldonado on any other driver, because few points collected from 6th place finish here may become very useful down the road. Looks like competition is creeping up, not from one team but from two, and shockingly not one of them is Mercedes. As we all know, misery loves company. Behind Max taking 7th place was 7-time world champion LCH, called it one of the dullest races. And how can you disagree? Have you noticed that it was only 2 years ago that Lewis was world champion, or maybe 3 years ago, and how quickly you disappear from the limelight if you are not winning? Have you noticed that, sir?
Not only do I notice it, but it's made a huge impact on my life, Nasser, because the one thing that we don't see at Monaco anymore is your friend, the Beeb.
Who's that?
Justin Bieber. He was always around when LCH was winning.
Oh, that's the price for paying. Oh, then he must win again soon. Yeah, Justin Bieber and his LA posses, they're going to fit in very well with Piero Lardi and John Elkann. Can't wait for that moment. Okay, but you know, when you win, everything is forgotten. That's the beauty of winning. Okay, sir, departing Mercedes at the end of the season for Ferrari may not give the same results as departing McLaren for Silver Arrows, but I must say, championship number 8 on a prancing horse will be much, much appreciated, and I cannot wait for it. And things are looking pretty good for LCH right now before he even gets to the stable. Tsunoda was 8th. Yuki is doing a real pokey on teammate Honey Badger's aspirations to get back to mothership at Red Bull. Tsunoda is 10th in the championship at 19 points compared to 5 for Ricciardo, who is 14th in the standings. Mr. Alex Albon, the wonder boy at Williams, finally got his and team's first points of the season from 9th place finish. So that's good for him. And the team is very high on him. He called the pace, oh, this was interesting, and because he repeated, he called the pace of the race as painfully slow. I heard some of the laps were slower than Formula 2 cars, and that is beyond pathetic, but people need to understand, a lot of these drivers did 77 laps on same set of tires. So, but that's not what you call ration. Albon's teammate, Logan Sargeant from Boca Raton, Florida, was 15th, 2 laps down. Pierre Gasly also picked up his first point of the season from 10th place finish. Now, Pierre Gasly, according to published reports, both him and Ocon are looking out for rides elsewhere. Now, Ocon is part of the Mercedes Driver Academy, and I believe he's on loan to Alpine. I don't think he will be at Alpine next year. Do you think Toto should take him as teammate to George Russell?
Well, originally, I thought he would definitely be a high consideration, being that he's part of the Mercedes family.
What do you think now?
He sort of soiled his own destiny.
Yeah, you know, he's creating his own problem, and that's not good, because if you don't get into a top team, you're not going to win. His reputation, I think, is not very good in terms of being a team player, and that will really hurt him a lot. But let's see what happens. In the final analysis, apart from the opening lap excitement crash, the only other bright spot, which I appreciated a lot during the race, was the Kick Sauber beautiful green livery. That really stood out. What say you?
It did stand out. I mean, there was no performance, but certainly. And, you know, green is the color of money.
That it is. Okay, sir, now a word about Checo. After I wrote this, news came, so I don't know if it's valid, but I'll say it still. Checo is putting pressure on Red Bull to place him in the checkout lane at the end of the season. Being outqualified by teammate is understandable, but 2 races in a row being outqualified by junior team drivers is not very inspiring. I think we need some fresh new blood, not only at Red Bull, but also in Formula One. Here's looking at you, kid, Liam Lawson. My message to Liam Lawson is, stay in Formula One circles and don't go on an extended vacation to Casablanca without the express written consent of Dr. Marco. Sir, what do you think will happen to Ricciardo, and who among the new kids you would like to see in Formula One next year?
Well, we've got Kimi Antonelli, we've got Liam Lawson, we've got Ollie Bearman. There's a whole slew of people waiting in line at the back of the bus. So some of these old guys that continue to hang out and some of these underperforming people need to move along. There's NASCAR, there's the Camping Truck Series. You can have the Coca-Cola 600 in your future.
And there's Formula E, don't forget that.
Big E, they call it.
Yeah, so that's the way it goes. Championship for drivers at 169 to 138 is the score, Max leading Charles. Still a lot of racing and a lot of season to run. And if the pace of this competition, especially Ferrari and McLaren, keep catching up to Red Bull, then Red Bull better not have a DNF for Max. Because if it gets 3 to 5 point difference and everybody's catching up, then last thing I want to see is the championship go to the final round, and we know what can happen there. Do you think that Max is going to wrap up the championship two or three races before? Obviously not like last year.
I would have said so maybe a month ago, but now Red Bull is doing what they shouldn't be doing, while Ferrari actually put aside the marinara sauce because Frédéric Vasseur prefers foie gras with a white shallot sauce. So I don't know if you've noticed, but Ferrari has been doing well in pit stops, strategy. Frédéric Vasseur has brought a new freshness to Ferrari that has made them much happier and much more efficient.
Yes, that was very noticeable because I did not hear the team tell Charles Leclerc, stay out, don't come in, when he's already in the pit lane. And that happened at Monaco, ironically, some years ago. So this is all good. The runaway edge that Mr. Max has enjoyed so far may be gone, but I still think in the long run, championship number four is almost a done deal. Things sometimes do take a dramatic turn, and you never know till the last lap of the last race, as Max himself found out in 2021. Which brings us to question of the day. How's the MBA studies going, Mr. Gotifi? Remember him?
He's my buddy now.
Oh, yes. He is the heed to Lewis was Petrov did to your Dios. And same place, same cafe. But that's Blue Cafe. That's the way it goes. Sir, the future is so bright. Things are going great for Ferrari. Your hero, Frédéric Vasseur, may need some shades. Now, we don't have to worry about their new signing for 2025. He will bring his own pink shades. After racing for a few years, a car that is more like a freight liner than a fast liner, looks like LCH will be stepping out of Brackley on the sunny side of the street and slide into a winning car upon arrival in Maranello. And, you know, before anybody says, let me say this. If he gets into a Ferrari and does a Kimi or a Mario Reti or a Nigel Mansell and win on Ferrari debut, you know what people are going to say. Oh, he's lucky. He got into the winning car. That's the only way he wins. So how he wins, I don't care. But I sure would love to see him get championship number 8. Would you like to see him get championship number 8? See or no?
I would. The biggest item on the menu that's going to slow him down a little bit is the culture shock. And now, if you go from a French team to an Italian team, the culture shock is minimized because it's a very hip and cool and happening place. But when you're driving for the Hun, for the Germanic style of living and everything else, it's a different state of affairs, ladies and gentlemen. And that transition going from, how should I put it politically correctly, Nasser? This is very sensitive, but it will take a small transition to adjust from the Blitzkrieg to the Italian army in Sicily, 1943.
Oh, very well said. Or in Eritrea, or wherever they fired a few shots, Libya. No, but that's another story. But I think that what you're saying will be an issue if Ferrari's 2025 car is called SF13, then we're going to have a problem. But, you know, he worked with Frédéric Vasseur at ART when he won the GP2 in his rookie season. So he knows that guy very well. The guy knows him very well. And I'm sure he will run into some people whom he had worked with before. And John Elkann personally brought him into the team. You know, he's the chairman of the Fiat Empire. So I think it's going to work out as long as they have a competitive car. Because it's going to be a huge day when Lewis Hamilton wins a race in a Ferrari. And I think Toto Wolff will walk up to him and say, what's up, my brother? I still love you. So that'll be quite a day. And you know, speaking of John Elkann and Lewis Hamilton at Ferrari, I was talking to this gentleman, Mark Hughes, who's a very well-respected Grand Prix reporter, He's been going to every race for over 20 years. I asked him in Miami, how come this whole thing was kept under wrap? I mean, nobody knew. Normally these things always leak out. And he told me that the deal was worked out several months ago, maybe a year ago, and an offer was put in front of Lewis. And Lewis basically agreed with Mr. John Elkann. Do you remember about a year ago there was a report that he had gone and had lunch or dinner with him? And then he said Lewis basically decided to stay at Mercedes. And then several months later, for whatever happened there, he decided to leave and join Ferrari. So when he called Mr. Elkann that I want to come, everything was already pretty much set in motion. All they need to do was hit the play button. And let's see what happens now. But things are getting very exciting. I'm glad competition is catching up, and may the best man of the season win. Nobody's going to have a problem, I think, with that. But you know what? I'll tell you, if Ferrari can bring a car within 0.1 or 0.2 of Max, and they get the momentum going, then it really, really become, because then it's going to be two Ferraris against one Red Bull. I do not expect Sergio Perez to help this guy out. And I think even if he could, based on how he was treated by Max, I don't think there will be any help from Checo to Max. I personally don't think Max will need his help, but you never know. You know, things can happen, competition can catch up, you can have a screw up in the pit lane or something, you know, or the new race director, you know, he may want to change the rule as per his own wishes on the final lap of the last race, but we will see. Okay, sir. So here is another kicker, which some people are saying he will, some people are saying he will not. If the gentleman stepping out of the Milton Keynes Palatial offices also take the midnight train to Maranello, then we're going to have some serious fireworks by car number 44 in red color. Red skies at night will lead to another of our favorite, who's sorry now. And so now I want to give my personal take on this, how the race went. It pains me to say this, since 85, when I think I've watched 99% of the races live, there was only one race. That was the race in Abu Dhabi where Lewis was world champion. Well, I think the championship was decided. It was just, it was like the race on Sunday. So now we have two races where I had to ask myself, what am I doing watching this race? Which I never thought I would say regarding a Formula One race, but sometimes things do get a little boring. And with all due respect to the history, pedigree, glitz and glamour of Monte Carlo, I sure did not miss the Monaco Grand Prix when it was a victim of coronavirus a few years ago. These days, Formula One is suffering from Heineken virus, and again talking of brewing their cash is king flavor in destination cities like Delhi, Jakarta and Hanoi. I say fa-ha to that. And these cities I'm not making up, this has come up again in the news. Let's hope they alternate races with Monaco or Baku and not with wonders of Formula One like Spa or Suzuka. What's your take on the Monaco Grand Prix? Because what happened on Sunday, a lot of people are talking about it, you know. Are the cars just too big for this track, or is the track too small? And of course, Liberty Media loves their A-list people. That did you see all the cute people who were there?
Well, I wasn't there, Nasser, so there was one missing, but you're right. But on the other hand, you know, I enjoyed watching the whole Monaco weekend. It's not just one race, even though the race was intensely boring, but I still watched the whole thing. I have to admit that they do need to do something. I was thinking maybe 3/4 size cars just for Monaco. Wouldn't that be cute? Sort of like go-karts, but they would look like the cars.
Yeah, very good idea, sir.
Yeah.
The Legends car they have here, yeah, you've seen those, right?
Exactly.
That Machine Gun Kelly used to drive.
Your buddy and sidekick?
Yeah, there you go. So that should be one.
Yeah, I think they should come up with a special car just for Monaco. I know, but it's pricey, but don't worry. Everybody seems to have money. And if it's in Monaco, everybody does have money. So I think it'd be interesting. It would also mix it up. Some people would not adjust to the smaller car as others. Now, on the other hand, Max is already, and I think he's complained for a number of years now that these cars are way too big and they should be smaller, lighter, and gnarlier. So this could be the future. Maybe Monaco will dictate what we're racing everywhere.
Talking of these cute people, all the celebrities that were there and this and that, I was watching this and I said, you know, with all these super VIPs and A-list people are there, if you go to them and say, hey, you know, Jim Clark never won Monaco Grand Prix, they'll probably say, who's that? So that's the heavy involvement these people bring to the Formula One thing. But anyway, that's just the way it is. Any other things you want to say, sir, before we take a Dasani honey break or a Aquafina break today?
Today is going to be liquor. We're going to have a liquor break. But I do want to comment on the attendance of the Monaco. There are a lot of elderly statesmen that go to Monaco. And I was very moved. Even the prince and princess were moved by the Monégasque winning in his hometown. It was stunning to watch the prince hugging Leclerc. It was very touching. I loved every minute of it. So if a boring race is boring, but the winner is exciting, that makes up for a lot of it. And let's not be down on Monaco, because Monaco is not a race. It's just a way of life.
Oh, well, I certainly appreciate the 1% of the world paying attention to Formula One. And speaking of the Prince, I don't recall the Prince spraying champagne. So that was the new Prince, I guess, and the revolution.
And the revolution will not be televised, Nasser. So on that note, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with Mario and the rest of the crew after these messages.
Hi, I'm Joseph Newgarden, and you're listening to F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial, with the king, the sultan himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And, you know, this thing that is spinning out of control about Michael Andretti's attempt to get into Formula One. Formula One is run by very smart people. They should really get this thing resolved where everybody is happy. Obviously, somebody will get a little bit more than what they want, but this really should not go on the way it's going on. It is very sad. One of the most successful and respectable names in motor racing history, plus being a Formula One world champion, is being treated with such personal vendetta by Formula One management. As always, there are two sides to the story. According to recently published reports, and this came from an interview with NBC, Mario Andretti, this is a gentleman who was told by Enzo Ferrari, "I don't have a price for your talents," was having a conversation with Stefano Domenicali at the Miami Grand Prix, when his boss, bean counter par excellence, Greg Maffei, told Mario basically, "I will do anything and everything in my power to make sure Michael does not get an F1 team." Not surprisingly, this version has been denied by Formula One management. I'm guessing you probably read this story also, sir?
Yes, sir.
What's your take on, let's just say, if this comment was made by this gentleman?
Somebody has a lot of bitterness and dislike for the Andrettis for some reason that I don't understand. And I think the Andrettis need to buy Haas as soon as possible.
Okay. Now, Formula One and Liberty Media are billion-dollar businesses. John Malone's company, Live Nation, is now facing antitrust lawsuits from many states. I think there are 30 states now. And the friendly folks at DOJ, as in Department of Justice. I say these companies are run by very smart and successful business minds, but their arrogance in denying Michael a slot in Formula One is mind-boggling. And I recently had a chance to have a few words with Signor Mario Andretti, and so let's listen what he has to say.
Okay, folks, I'm here with the legend, Mr. Mario Andretti. Mario, good to see you. How are you today?
Wonderful, Nasir. Good to see you. Yes.
It's very good you have taken your case to the U.S. Congress. This is your D-Day moment, going all out. Where do we go from here?
Well, I'd like to make something clear. I did not take the case to the Congress. It's actually Formula One attracted the attention of Congress when they exhibited last week in Washington, D.C. I want to make this clear that they're the ones that attracted the attention of Congress because the members of Congress that asked me to come to Washington because they said, we'd like to ask you some questions, they wonder if Formula One is trying, obviously, very hard to become more prominent in America. They say, why are they having so difficulty time approving an American team? That was the comment. I did not ask that. I did not ask to go to Washington. I did not ask to speak to any of them. And anybody that thinks that, it's wrong. But when they asked me and invited me to go there and meet with them, obviously I did. Why wouldn't I, you know? And that's it. It was a general discussion that, you know, we're somewhat in limbo as well. You know, very obviously anxious to arrive at, you know, at a proper conclusion here. And that's it. So there you have it.
But, well, I'm very happy they're rolling out the Sherman, and I hope it works out because we all want to see Scuderia Andretti in Formula One. You have seen anything and everything in motor racing, USAC versus CART, FISA, FOCA war, IndyCar split. Did you ever experience this kind of greed and what I would call disrespect to one of the most successful names in motor racing globally, not just here?
Well, you know, the thing that from our standpoint is difficult to understand is if we're prepared to comply with everything that's asked of us by rule, by the Concord Agreement, I think that's, and once we were accepted by the FIA, you know, the commercial side, if we satisfy what is part of the agreement now, then we're in, you know. So, and so far there's been a lot of discussion and talk and, you know, by the media about other thing, numbers and so forth, but nothing directly to us. So that's all that, that's where some of the, what has to be clarified for from our standpoint. And there, you know, we have to try to come to some sort of conclusion here, you know. And we have shown that we have every intention to be ready and so forth for 2026. And that's it. I mean, it's our objectives are clear. We're going in this thing with our eyes wide open because we have studied the situation, what is, you know, necessary to be able to comply, you know, with what is required. So that's where we are.
You pretty much answered my next question, but let me ask you anyway in case there is more. Your name is synonymous with winning. General Motors is a century-old global giant. Has anyone from Formula One elaborated on what they mean when they say Mikey's entry does not add value to Formula One, which I think is a total load of malarkey?
Well, I mean, they made a statement early on, you know, in January, but we were told that, you know, that is not final. That's what was said at one of the meetings. So, but tell us, you know, what we're missing then. Yeah, that's all. You know, we need to talk, and we haven't been able to really organize that.
You were at your new facility at Silverstone recently. Is the plan full steam ahead solo, or is the door still open to buy an existing team?
No, now it's full ahead, you know, to we tried hard enough for almost 2 years to buy another team and so forth. I mean, that was originally the plan, and we tried. We tried you know, any possibility, and there isn't any. So you have to change the course of action, and now it's now we're building from, you know, from square one.
I understand Nick Chester is the chief designer. How is the recruitment drive going? And any big names you may have already signed but not made public? We need a scoop here.
Well, the scoop will come once we get the green light. I think you might be, I know I will be pleasantly.
Okay, before connection was, this is very important, before connection was made with Cadillac, there was talk of Renault engine. Question is, were there any discussions with the team with whom you won your first Grand Prix and your last pole position, Monza 82?
Well, all of these things I cannot really discuss, but honestly, because these are internal situations, and whenever they come about, then obviously, but until something is definitely 100%, you know, we don't want to speculate.
Driver lineup, name of Colton Herta is mentioned as one of the drivers. Does the team plan to have two American drivers?
Well, the team, I think you have to be realistic. I think in the future you would try to encourage to have two American drivers, but at the beginning, I think at least one will be the objective. And, you know, time flies, and, you know, you can't be 100% sure. But, you know, you mentioned Colton Herta. He's certainly one of the candidates, strong candidate to be one of the drivers at the beginning. So, but the overall objective is to give opportunities to American driver or American trained and drivers like in the IndyCar series, to potentially try to expand to Formula One.
Next season, Lewis will be riding a prancing horse. Do you think he will be able to get championship number 8 with them?
Well, obviously, you know, everybody will be trying. I mean, he's certainly going to be with a team that have produced many champions, and he's certainly capable. So it would be interesting, very interesting to see that happening, you know, see how it goes. I mean, some movement of drivers within the teams, I think, is always a good thing for the sport. So there you have it.
Adrian Newey leaving Red Bull. Your thoughts on it, and is he moving to Maranello?
Well, again, it's his business what he does, you know, and we'll see.
Okay, last question, very important for me. When Scuderia Andretti is racing at Parco Monza, will it be possible to come and have cappuccino with Mario?
100%.
I'm keeping this for the record.
Keep it on the record.
Grazie mille. Thank you so much.
Mario, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com.
Yeah, you know, I'm just hoping, you know, they can have some sort of a resolution, you know, maybe not give him prize money for first year, or maybe 30 for first year, 30% next year. I mean, something can be resolved here. I just cannot believe that a billion-dollar corporation like Mercedes, Renault, Ferrari, these companies are going to be hurt so much if they get $10 million less. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, but I do believe that there are Ferrari folk, there are Red Bull people that are against Andretti coming in.
Yeah, I think the only support he has is from McLaren team.
I agree.
Yeah, but hopefully something will happen. Okay, sir, now we come to Indy 500. As always, tremendous excitement and intensity in the last 10 laps. Zak Brown was at the Brickyard and almost saw his driver Pato Ward win the race. He took the lead from Penske driver Joseph Newgarden, but the Indy 500 winner from Tennessee grabbed the lead back on the final lap. Now, because of weather issues, the race was delayed by 4 hours. It was worth the wait. I'm guessing you watched the race, sir. What's your take on it?
I did watch the race, and I felt so bad for Pat O'Ward. But I know Pat O'Ward knows how the 500 works. And if it's the last lap and you're leading, you're going to lose. It's just the nature of the beast. That's the way it happened last year. That's the way it happened this year. And Joseph Newgarden knows exactly that, because Joseph Newgarden said it last year that he was happy that he was second in the last lap because he could make that move. The same thing happened this year, taking and ripping out Pat O'Ward's heart.
Yes, he was really, really bummed out. But that's major racing. Okay, sir, now we go back to Monaco. Formula 2, maiden win for Taylor Bernard in the sprint race on Saturday. And we had the same situation as at Indy and the feature race at Monaco. Winner, Zach O'Sullivan. Angry cheetah of the race was your fellow Frenchman, Isaac Hadjar. He had the race in the bag because he had pitted for tire change much earlier. And the guy who was leading the race, Zach O'Sullivan, he had not stopped. And like with, I think, a lap or two laps to go, there was some issue. It was pretty obvious that safety car may not be called, but there was a possibility of a VSC, virtual safety car. So his team brought him into the pits. And I'm watching this. You know, normally most tracks it takes 20 seconds to, minimum 20 seconds to change tires and come ahead, right? And so this guy had an 18-second lead. And I figured, you know, he's not going to come out ahead in the lead. And that's what happened. And man, I'll tell you that Isaac Hadjar, he went Monty ballistic. He was really, really pissed off at his team. When they told him P2, oh man, don't say that. Can you believe what happened? Don't talk to me. Just like super, super mad. But you know, the thing is, I'm sure he's pissed off, and who wouldn't be in his shoes? Almost a certain win going away. Do you remember how Lewis Hamilton lost a race in the closing laps in Monaco some years ago when they brought him in for a tire change? I mean, I just could not believe. Of all the places, this is not Monza or some high-speed track, you know. They brought him into a... and that thing, that was the race that where James Vowell came on and said, I've lost the race for the team and you, but these things happen. Okay, sir, so that was the excitement of Formula 2 race. Formula 3, first win in the series for a driver supported by Machismo. And this driver is from Bulgaria, Nikola Solov. This was in Saturday sprint race. Feature race, Gabriel Mini, man from Sicily, who drives for Nicola Todd. He won the race. And in Formula 3, I believe we've had 8 races so far and 8 different winners. So that's very interesting. And so here is a little, you know, something that I've been working for a few years, and one thing led to another. But finally, Friday, last Friday, I took a flight to North Carolina to meet Jennifer Revson, younger sister of Peter Revson. My thanks to her for her time, and also to F1 Weekly Familia member Bob Steele for making this meeting possible. This conversation will be posted next week. She talks about growing up with two racing brothers, Douglas and Peter. And their dad, Martin Revson, was one of the founders of Revlon with Charles Revson, who was the main guy. But then they had a falling out and they went separate ways. But it was very nice of her to invite me to her house. We spent about 2 hours there, and she had a lot of interesting stories. She showed me photo book when they were kids and stuff like that. And one thing that was very chilling was when she told me what the sister of Denny Hall told her when they met some years ago in the U.S. and what was the reason that made Denny retire from racing. So to listen to this, please check out last week. And once again, my thanks to Miss Jennifer Revson. Okay, sir, before we move on to famous last words, do you have anything to say?
No, it was a great weekend for racing. Started in the morning, ended in the evening. You can't have a better weekend.
Yeah, Memorial Day weekend for motor racing is very good. And you have not updated us on the World 600. What happened there?
There was a delay. Then the race ended. It was shortened because of weather. And, of course, your buddy Kyle Larson, who ran the 500, who finished the 500, which is an impressive feat. And let's not forget, there were a lot of kablamos from the Honda cars at the Indy 500, which was very surprising.
Yeah, that's the way it goes sometimes. And there are strong reports that, and rumors, that Honda is going to bail out of IndyCar racing and, believe it or not, join National Association of Stock Car Automobile Racing.
Well, my question is, where are the stock cars?
They're all gone to flowers, everyone. Now it's all beneath. You know, I remember when Toyota came into NASCAR. Before that, it was only American manufacturers. I heard from industry, racing industry people, that Toyota paid NASCAR $33 million to allow them to take part. But then, you know, part of the argument was they were building and they still are building a lot of cars here. I think most of the Toyota and Honda cars sold in this country are now built here. So it's good for the sport. It's good for these companies. Man, I'll tell you, if Honda leaves IndyCar racing, it will just become a spec series, as it was in the IRL day. And that will be a very, very sad day. And I was so excited when Roger Penske bought the series in the Brickyard, but now slings and arrows are flying every which way towards him. But that's the way it goes. Okay, sir, so we come to famous last words, and this is Max on the team radio for the race he had. He said, and I quote, "F me, this is really boring. I should have brought my pillow."
Well, what they need to do is get Max an internet connection in the car so he can win in the iRacing while he's racing at Monaco, like he did during Imola and won the Nürburgring on the same weekend.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. Auf Wiedersehen.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.